Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome once again. We're with Dr. That's Dr. Period. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We're rocking and rolling from the West Coast to the East Coast, even worldwide. We're just happy to be back on the show tonight. We're live streaming here in West Fresno, the Golden West Side. This is how we do it. We're going to keep it real. We're going to keep it 100. We have a special guest tonight on our show. We have a pioneer on our show tonight. We have someone who loves his community on our show tonight. We also got viewers coming in right now. He was Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. For those of you who can go to my Facebook and you can check it out, listen to the show. You can call in if you like it, 619-924-0872, 619-924-0872. And first of all, we just want to give a shout-out to all of the freedom fighters across the world. We want to give a shout-out to all of our ancestors who have been in the struggle. I want to give a shout-out to the Black Panther Party, Shirley Chisholm, Fannie Lou Hamer, Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, so many people. I just can't name all of them right now on the show. But, you know, we're just happy again to just all of those ones who are deceased and all of those ones who are alive, all of my freedom fighters in Oakland, California, San Francisco, Louisiana, L.A., Philly, New York, Chicago, you know, just Texas, Oregon, Washington. You know, we just want to give a shout-out to all of you who are on the front line. You know, we don't have too many front-line soldiers anymore who's willing to speak truth to power. And so we're just happy to be able to be at this time right now. It's 2019. Last I heard, the government has shut down. What that means, shut down, Dr. Harris? That means nothing going in and nothing going out. That means that, first of all, you know, we're so used to this government right now to feed us, to house us, to do everything for us. You know, what do we know how to do for our own selves? You know, do we know how to farm? Do we know how to go out here and go fishing? Or are we just so used to going to the grocery store and buying fish? Who know how to take a seed and plant it? Who know how to plant a mustard seed? We'll get more into that with the Freedom School. But I just want to read this little bio real quick of my brother here. His name is Mr. Rod Johnson. He has his own TV show online. This brother is hot. This brother is doing it big right now. If you go to my Facebook right now, you can be able to see all the good work that he's doing, excuse me, here in the community of Fresno. And he's just a brother that, you know, that I've learned to respect. I always tell people, you know, too many people can't roll with me. I don't roll with scary people. I got to roll with people that I know they got my back when times get rough. And there's not too many black folks in Fresno I can say that about. And so this brother here is from Fresno. I'd like to go ahead and introduce him right now. We have a special guest, Rod Johnson, who has his own TV internet show. Rod grew up in West Fresno and has come back to rebuild the community that he grew up as a kid. Rod is very disappointed his community has not been developed by the city of Fresno. Rod visited the Fresno Freedom School and purchased a bag of greens. Did you hear what I said? He purchased a bag of greens, collard greens, if that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He purchased a bag of collard greens, okay? This week, this past Saturday, all right, he was rolling with the Freedom School kids. And we're just happy to have him on the show. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dr. Harris. I just started the show here, me and Dr. Kennedy. We used to do Real Talk with the number one doctors. And now I decided to do this, create this show, Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show, because what I'm seeing going on in Fresno, black people are being eliminated. And so it's time that I blow a bugle for those of you who are not dead. If you are dead, I hope you wake up because you're going to be assassinated and eliminated here in this city. Before we go into the show, for those of you who do not know, that the statistics that just came out that said that Fresno is the 10th worst city for black people to live in the United States of America. And we beat out Skid Row in L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, San Diego. We're the only city on the West Coast. All the other cities, it was 10, I believe 20 cities, not 10. We were the only city on the West Coast that was identified for black people, not Hispanics, not whites, not Asians, not Arabs, black people. 10th worst city in the world. And also, to say that, Fresno has the highest concentration of poverty in the world. So we have some major problems here, big problems. But Brother Rob, we're going to go ahead and bring you to the show. We want to thank Sister Sharon from Hanford, who is on. Welcome to our show, Brother Johnson. Talk to us tonight.
Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Harris, for having me on your show. Man, it's a pleasure to be on your show. And like you were saying earlier, yes, I was born right here in Fresno, California. You know, I grew up in L.A., but like I was telling Sharon, you know, I came back as a kid all summer. I went to Warner Junior High School. I went to Edison High School. And I know a lot of people in Fresno. And when I moved back to Fresno, my whole thing was like, you know, I'm here to help. You know, I know a lot of people and stuff in the industry and stuff like that. But my main focus was to give back to this West Side, man. You know, in the 80s, I'm not proud. You know, I sold a lot of drugs right here in West Fresno, and I'm not proud of that. I went to federal prison. I grew up. And when I came home from federal prison, the first thing that I actually did in Fresno, man, September 7, 1996, I had a dream like Dr. King in federal prison, man. Real talk, Mr. Dr. Harris. I was like, man, when I get out this federal prison, man, I have to do something for West Fresno. You know, I just wanted to give back. So, like I say, September 7, 1996, I had an organization called Brother to Brother, which was actually started in federal prison by me and a couple of cats from Chicago and stuff like that. And I brung all the gang members in Fresno for a day of peace. And I actually got a proclamation from Mayor Patterson, you know, and I was happy. I was excited about that, man, because I felt like, you know, I gave back to my community. My mom was alive, and, she was very proud of me. She was like, son, if you help one person, you did your job. I said, yes, Mom. You know I can't save the world, but I tried to save a lot of these little brothers so they wouldn't go down the path that I went through, Dr. Harris.
Well, my brother, you know, I would say that, you know, we all make mistakes, you know, and don't mean that because we make mistakes that we have to always be in debt to that mistake. I really commend you for, you know, taking ownership of, you know, whatever that was you said you did and was incarcerated. I think you're more of a man to come back out to rebuild your community, and so what can you give us some insight on when you was a young man? I know we were talking a little bit about that, how you were a young man and you know used to play around West Fresno and you left, you came back, and you said that West Fresno still looked the same 40 to 50 years later.
Yes.
Can you kind of expound, talk about that a little bit?
Yes, like when we was at the Freedom School, we was talking about our grandmothers and stuff. Like, I should come out here and I see with my grandmother. She had a garden in her backyard and stuff like that, so I was able to, you know, see that. But what I was talking about, if you go on between Thorn and Fruit on California, where the old fruit stand used to be, that area still looks the same, man. Like I say, we used to play right there behind the fruit stand, and I'm like, when are they going to rebuild West Fresno? You know, it still looked the same from the 70s. And here it is, 2019, and it still looked the same. So that's telling me that, city councilmen or the people, the mayor and stuff like that, they care nothing about West Fresno. You know, it's sad that we don't have no Starbucks or we don't have nothing on this west side. But it's still like we on a plantation. Like we're still here, and they're not going to develop nothing. So, you know, I want to see some people that, you know, can really pull some strength and do something for West Fresno. You know, it's sad. It's sad that it still looks the same after so many years, after 30, 40 years. It's just sad. I don't understand it, Dr. Floyd.
Well, you know, for those who know me know that for the past 34 years, being an international civil rights leader, not just here locally, but across the country. You know, we had many, many fights with this government here in Fresno. But I believe you're dealing with one of the most corrupt governments here, even worse than in Chicago back in the day, back in the 30s, when you look at the corruption that is here. Fresno came out of West Fresno. West Fresno built Fresno. But what happened was, you know, everybody moved out of West Fresno, going north to North Fresno, and just really abandoned. You know, what's sad is for me, Brother Rod, you know that I talk very straight, direct, respectfully to everyone. But what's sad for me is to see many people who lived here, who went to the Boys and Girls Club, who went to the YMCA, who went to Frank Age. I mean, Frank Age is one of the most historical places that for black people to go. I mean, yeah, many basketball players, including myself, went through Frank Age and made it to the NBA and what have you. And a lot of people have made it successfully, you know, out of here.
Yeah.
But the question I have is, why has no one has come back to give back to the place they gave to them to be successful when they were, you know, running around here? You know, there were elders that watched over them. How come now we don't have the fortitude, we don't have the understanding that we need to come back to the place that took care of us when we was a kid? Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about your perspective on that.
Well, my perspective on that, Floyd, like, we're not going to say any names. Yes, it has been many athletes that came from West Fresno that I feel that haven't did anything. You know, it's sad because, like I say, they was once kids here and they was living in poverty. Now they're successful. I would think, you know, if I became successful, if I would have made it to the NFL or something like that, I would have definitely came back and rebuilt West Fresno because this is my home. You know, like I say, it's sad, Dr. Harris, but really, I think you know, I haven't talked to a few of them personally, but I have heard through people. They say, you know, everybody, they want something, you know, just because I made it, I'm not going to help those Negroes and stuff like that, which I think is sad because this is where you came from. You know, and like I said, if you made it to NFL, NBA, I think it's your job to come back and give back to your community because you was once in this community. I would want to see my community prosper. You know, we don't have nothing in West Fresno. Like you mentioned, the Boys Club and stuff like that, Frank A's, Nielsen Park. We don't have nothing where these kids can go and be safe. But if we had those professional athletes, that they would come down, you know, and the community would become a community again. It's not a community to me. we divided. Like I said earlier, we still like we're on a plantation. Some Negroes on this side, some Negroes on that side. But it's all about West Fresno. The ones who move out need to come back. I had a discussion with Dave Harris today, and once again, I'm not going to say any names, but he was like, man, I tried to tell him, brother, why you guys haven't did anything for West Fresno? You know, you live in San Antonio, you're doing a lot of stuff for that community, but that's not your community. That's just a community where you play professional basketball at. But you started right here at Nielsen Park in the Boys Club. Why you haven't did anything for this community? That's what I have to say on that issue. And it hurts my heart, Dr. Harris. It hurts my heart, man. When I walk through the community, I'd be like, God, man, if God just let me hit the lottery, I would show these people, man, because they can't take that stuff with them. You know, give back to your future. And all these little brothers and sisters walking around West Fresno seeing this stuff, they feel like they don't have no hope because of the way it looks. But when you cross over McKinley and stuff like that, going to North Fresno, it seemed like a whole different world to me. So, you know,
Well, for the 34 years that I've, you know, been on the front line, you know, here in West Fresno, dealing with major, major issues from homelessness to police brutality to a living wage to trying to change policy for a healthy community. I believe that the city of Fresno has been able to buy off a lot of black folk, and not so much of money, but to be silent, to be quiet, to just be one of those people who are numb. I believe that there's a lot of good people in West Fresno that is left, but I believe that our older generation is very tired of fighting. You know, back in the 60s and the 70s and the early 80s, they're tired. You know, we have to come up with a new generation of leaders and take those elders who was on the front line and learn from those elders. Because right now, Brother Rod, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm very concerned about the future of our young people in this city. When I see report says that Fresno has the highest concentration of poverty in America, the highest, not the lowest, but the highest concentration of poverty from the Brooklyn Institution report, those of you who are watching live stream, I always tell people, don't believe me, go research it for yourself. Type in Brooklyn Institution and see that the report says that Fresno has the highest concentration of poverty in the world. We made that two or three years in a row. But the problem, Brother Rod, is this. The San Joaquin Valley makes over $50 billion a year in ag, feeding over 90% of the world and exporting food across the world, but yet we have the highest concentration of poverty, and Fresno is the 10th worst city for black people to live in America. I mean, people should be outraged. I have not heard Mayor Lee Brand say anything, a mumbling word. I have not heard the city council say a mumbling word. I have not heard the board of supervisors say a mumbling word. Because it's just little old black people, we're just going to treat them like little bitty political guinea pigs, let them have their churches, let them sing on Sunday morning, hop around. As long as they don't get enough economic development, as long as they're not buying any land, we're fine. What are your thoughts about that? We're going to go ahead and bring Sister Sharon in from Hanford on the line. You're with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We're keeping it real, broadcasting from the West Coast, from Mississippi, Fresno. What are your thoughts about that before we bring Sister Sharon in from Hanford, California?
My thoughts about that, Dr. Harris, it's really sad. Like I say, what you just said, we on the list, the 10th worst city in the United States. But it goes back to the 90s when Fresno was, they was number one per capita with the murder rate. So like you just said, evidently the mayor don't care about us, the councilmen, they don't care about us. You know, it's really sad, and we have to make changes. We have to make changes, and if we don't make the changes right now, our future generation in West Fresno is really doomed. They're doomed. So if we number 10 right now in 2019, if we don't make changes by 2025, we're going to be number one or number two or number three on that list. So that's I feel it's sad. It's really, really sad, man, and I commend you for being a frontline soldier for the last 34 years. Like I say, I support you. I'm with you because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to get on the front line and, you know, get out there and walk with you and march with you. I've been to a few rallies with you. We was downtown Fresno, you know, a couple of years back, and, you know, I was right there with you, and I believe in you because, like I say, if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. Our grandma, my grandfathers, and, you know, my uncle, you know, they were very prominent people right here in Fresno, you know, and they try to do a lot of stuff, you know, but evidently superpowers got a grip on West Fresno. Like you said, we not buying no land and we not buying this and we not trying to do this. They don't care. They don't care. You know, who cares? Do the real community care? You know, I know it's a little bad and stuff like that, but it's bad everywhere in this country. You know, Fresno, it's sad that we on that list. I read that. We did a show about that, and Doctor, I said, yes, we're number 10, but go back to the 90s, we was number one. I used to be scared. You know, people ask, like, I'm from Fresno. Fresno, oh, wow, you know what they doing out there. It's crazy people in Fresno. No, it's not crazy people in Fresno. It's just the way that we in this little, on this plantation. I'm going to keep it real, Floyd. Like I told you, it's a plantation, and it got us right here. And a lot of people, they escape the plantation, but they don't come back to the plantation and give back to the plantation. That's what it's about, coming back to your community and helping your community develop.
Well, let me say this before we left. We have another caller in at 5172. We also have Sister Sharon from Hanford, California at 4126. She's a community activist, a revolutionary sister down in the Hanford Kings Turn County area. But let me say this to those who are watching live stream across the world. You know what? I don't expect for white folks to save me. I don't expect for Latino to save me. I don't expect Hindus or Asians to save me. Who I expect to save us is black folks. You know, the Black Panther Party in Oakland, California did not wait on white folks to save them. Okay? They did not do that. They protected their community. They fed their community. They gave health care to their community. And they educated their community. That's what the Black Panther Party did. In Oakland, California, 3 hours from Fresno here. That's what they did. Why is it that we can't do that today? Why is it that the black community look like a ghost town? Why is it that the black community do not have no power? We have all the power we need right at our fingertips. But because we're rich, divided us. This is the condition that we're in right now. I'm going to bring in Sister Sharon at 4126. 4126, you're on with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show.
Hey, now.
Well, I'd like to say, The first speak, Dr. Raj, right? I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Rob Johnson.
I like how he mentioned that even though he wasn't doing right, he knew that it was important for him to give back from what he felt that he took from the community and to be able to give back, even coming from not athletic or a type of background like the people we have in our communities that do go off and get good jobs and good athletic careers and some musicians. But how many of them come back and even, you know, give any little advice to the kids that you can do more, even come back to empower our community to make it look better, to offer different resources. They not doing nothing gives our kids no hope and leads them to the other side. Because if they don't see us not being able to do nothing, then they got to go to the other side to get whatever it is they have. And, you know, the other side going to lead them astray and lead them caught up into whatever type of programs that they have that's going to continue to keep them at a level to where they can't get loans to buy their houses, they can't get jobs to be in positions of authority to even put other black people. It's a conspiracy all around. And the best thing that that not only you're doing, Rob, and Floyd is doing also is giving back to the community and to the youth. The Bible says the youth is our future. So we have to go to them and build our foundation. They always say you can't teach your old dog new tricks. Same way you can't teach old folks nothing new. Let the kids teach them how to be how it was always. Because it's like they're a mix up in the generations. You know what I'm saying? We used to be able to go to our older folks at any time and get some good knowledge and wisdom on how to live life and deal with all these things. But nowadays, kids look at old folks like, you know, they need to be put up somewhere. Don't understand the value in them. And then in the same instance, we have our young folks not even understanding their value because of it being snatched away from their parents not being there for so many reasons, drugs being one of them. Sometimes the parents are locked up. But, man, our community strength and foundation begins right now with the kids and what Mr. Harris is doing and what you're doing to make people aware of it and giving back to the community and not being afraid to tell folks, yeah, I was out there, I did the most. You know what I'm saying? I ain't afraid. God knows. However, yes. I am trying to make a difference, and a little bit of difference is better than no difference.
Yes, 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 Sister Sharon. Yes, yes, I totally agree, and thank you. Like I said, you know, I did stuff in the 80s that I wasn't proud of, like I told Dr. Harris, but I knew once I got in that federal prison, I grew up, I educated myself in that federal prison. I learned about the nonprofit organization, stuff like that. So that was my mission. When I got out of prison, you know, I came home to nothing. But I said,
done any of that if you had not went to prison? Would you have taken time to look into it? So with that said, sometimes the Lord always has a better plan beyond what we think we're doing, even when we're doing the most at our best. He has another plan. And what we do, it all comes to full circumfruition, even like a plan being written down to the point of you had to go through what you had to go through to know the power of who you are and what you can do with doing something positive in life,
yes.
Giving back
yes.
to
Yes.
Having gone through that experience, you probably still could have done it, but it's even much more powerful now.
My mom,
we're going to go ahead and bring in 5172. We're going to bring 5172 into the show. You're with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show, broadcasting from the West Coast, 5172. Welcome to our show. We want to jump into this hot conversation tonight.
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that having been born and raised in Southwest Fresno, I cannot believe at the state of our community today. Nothing ever gets built in Fresno, in Southwest Fresno. It always seems to get torn down. Like when they tore down the main building at Edison High School, they didn't retrofit Edison like they did Fresno High. They
exactly.
just tore it down
yes.
and put up those ugly buildings that they got
yes.
now, those pods. Now,
yes.
redevelopment came through in the 70s, took people's houses, took people's businesses, and nothing was replaced. Now, that high-speed rail coming through. Now you got all these businesses wanting to buy people's homes instantly, you know, instant cash. And for what? They want to gentrify Southwest Fresno now. That's what they want to do. And they want to drive out all the older people and the people who inherited their people, their family land. So unless black people learn how to value their own culture and their own people, we're going to get destroyed.
It is.
And it's very simple. So younger people need to listen to their elders. Elders need to value the younger folks. They have the energy, because the civil rights movement was built on the backs of young people. Older people were too afraid to do a lot. They were going to lose their jobs if their employers found out what they were doing. Children got out there on the front lines. They were sitting at those lunch counters. They were out there getting the water hoses turned on them. So we can do this. We have the blueprint. We have the energy. We have the knowledge. We are the first people. The first people. And we need to redefine what it is that we are as a people. Sister Sharon is right. Brother Ron is right. So when Reverend Harris gives that clarion call that he needs 20 black men to walk with him in the neighborhood to show who we are as a people, we need to get out there and support him.
Yes, yes. I was the first one that called him. I told him, man, I'm in. And like you said, sister, it's sad that, you know, the West Fresno still look like this. And, like, they don't, I'm going to tell you something, sister, they don't do nothing for Fresno. Me and my cousin, we was riding around all Fresno City College and all McLean High School. They all have those beams, those satellites, in the parking lot. Why they haven't did that for Edison? Why Edison don't have those solar panels? That's telling me
that's right there.
It tripped me out, man. We just City College. I went by McLean. I went by Fresno High.
Yes.
All these other places have the solar stuff, but Edison don't have that. Edison doesn't have that. So that's telling me they don't care. They don't care. But people, if you know Edison.
That comes from when houses are built in the community and they have taxes and stuff, the taxes allow for the schools and certain things in the area to be upgraded, but they're not even allowed anything to be built, any homes, you know what I'm saying? They probably folks can't get loans, and not too long ago they had the little housing thing where a lot of folks got caught up. So now, like you said, there's people who own homes in the neighborhood that aren't even from the community and are just waiting for that moment for somebody to slip. And then once they come in, we get one in, you know, the next. Oh, man, I got this. And it'd be a whole community of basically white folks we've never seen before. And it's not only white folks. And it doesn't matter who comes into the community as long as they come in with the community understanding that they, just like how the white folks took away from the Indians, there were folks planted here way before you got here, and the world is not ours, but this is our community, and we need it respected, not wanted. We need it respected to the point where if we have to put you out, I mean, you know, we want to be able to do that in a right type kind of way. And that goes back again to educating our young people, our teenagers, the ones in positions to buy property, to keep their grandparents' property and don't know how.
I've learned a lot about the state
because nobody would tell me. The white folks weren't going to tell me. All they said, we're going to buy it from you. No, I don't want you to buy it. This is my mom. My brother want to keep it.
Here's my question. Why is it that the last structures that went up in Southwest Fresno were all apartments, not single-family homes where people could buy and then pass along that wealth and property to their families? They built projects type. They look nice, but they still projects. We need to get our phone.
We got another caller in 7244. We're Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. You have a comment? You want to jump in on this hot topic tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to say peace and blessings to everybody on the panel tonight. Just visiting this topic, because I'm going to assume tonight, especially with the R. Kelly scandal situation, a lot of our people are doing a lot of things tonight. You know, everybody's talking about the government shutdown and, you know, this and that, the football game, but there aren't many people, many of us, there aren't many black people, there aren't many African people that are sitting down here in America having this type of discussion, having this type of dialogue. That's just the reality. And we have to fix ourselves where we are mature and responsible enough to now start engaging in these sorts of conversations and also topics on a daily basis, just as I hear grown adults. And more so now, I'm hearing black women talk about, you know, their involvement in sports, right? In particular, football. I never heard our black mothers talk about their love for – that used to be something that, you know, the guys would do, sit on the couch and drink beer. But now mom and pops might be fighting because they want to – you know, back in the day, I can recall my father would be sitting on the couch and my mother still handling her motherly duties in the kitchen. But now you got more, you know, women that are sitting down watching the game and applauding that on than ever. And guess what? We are still at a place where 75-80% of black African men are basically running the league, right? We are the slaves in the league, but we aren't the owners. We don't have, never have had one black owner over any one of those football teams. So as we are talking and speaking about the dynamics and the situations that we currently deal with on in today, it only mimics, it only mocks, and looks just like what it looked like in the yesterdays with us picketing, with us protesting, saying, please don't shoot, you know, Black Lives Matter. All of these are the same rhetorics that we spent, you know, years on. 40, 50 years ago, we were saying the same thing, you know, and
you
I'm
know,
not.
Brother. Well, yes, let me ask you a question, brother, about that. There was I don't know if you call it a conspiracy theory, but some people say that's one of the reasons why Bill Cosby went to jail, because he was trying to buy
NBC,
a major
NBC.
Team.
Yes.
Well, okay, I heard that Bill Cosby was actually trying to buy a major
NBC.
National
NBC.
Television
mm-hmm.
network. So that way he would be able to televise a lot of truth without a whole bunch of folks not listening to. And you see how what they did to him. And it's mighty. It's not random that they chose to bring this stuff out about R. Kelly. They knew it back way back then. But the white man wanted to get their maximum amount of money from him.
Yeah,
and they're still gonna get some money from it. And now, and I said earlier, they pimped R. Kelly. They knew what he was doing.
Can I say something about that? Can I say something about that, please? I'm not trying to interrupt you. Like Bill Cosby, he was trying to buy NBC in the 80s. That's when it first started.
Yeah.
He was trying to buy NBC.
Yeah.
And like I told everybody, yes, you know, I don't commend what R. Kelly did. He did what he did, but it's bigger than R. Kelly. It's big.
Right.
It was bigger than R. Kelly made millions, but they made billions. But 10 years later, you want to destroy him. 30 years later, you want to start Bill Cosby. We're not gonna get, because that's another show, Dr. Harris, that we're gonna talk on. But it's bigger than them brothers. I'm in the entertainment and people.
Yeah.
When I say them people. People don't believe they call it the Illuminati. It's a secret society. That is real. They build us up to bring us down. They don't care nothing about the African American men. Man, I can name Mike Tyson, all of them. Mike Vick in sports, those dogs. That's why our lives matter. And like the brother said, right now it's time for us to really, and we got to get back to picking and doing that, because they're not going to wet us with no water hose. You know, they kill blacks, you know, every day. You know, I was watching on social media.
So we do understand that we're working against white people that fear us
right.
taking and inevitably and ultimately taking over our natural position. It's not that we're trying to push them out of place. This is natural.
Right.
It's our natural self. This is just like planting a seed and letting it grow, and it's just natural. That's how it is. But they're afraid of that because of their unnaturality, their savagery, and all the other demonicness that comes about them.
And if I could add on real quickly, because you all hit on some very key points, in particular speaking about black men basically starting, and as I'm looking at R. Kelly, and whether it be Bill Cosby, I don't condone any bad character, any misbehavior, I don't condone that. So a lot of times I do know, like the brother just said, in these boys' clubs, in these gangs, the Illuminati, whether you call it secret society, you have to basically, in order, you're not just going to get on their TV and make millions of dollars just because you got a God-given talent. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to be able to be puppeted. So you're going to be working for them, but then when you start to turn around and say, well, hey, I want to think for myself, That's when they start to get pissed off. That's when basically they're going
to
come at you like the mafia, in a mafia style. That's when you got to go like Prince. Prince owned the masters to his music.
Right.
He owned a lot of music, and they didn't like that. They like to have control. In another case, Michael Jackson, he not only owned his masters, he owned the Beatles catalog.
The Beatles.
So this is when you're starting to see black people, black men, black women, starting to take control. They want to see us in dresses. They want to see us. They'll promote you as long as, you know, we're doing something degenerative, long as we're talking about selling drugs, doing drugs, all of that. They're going to promote the heck out of you. But then when you start to wake up and you say, hey, I want to buy this television company, I want to do something more positive, that's when they're pissed off. That's when they start to get upset. And what we have to realize is that we are dealing with a cancer. This is a virus, and a virus has a life as well. And we have to stop making the mistake as black African people, even all black people, aren't for us in the things that we feel are going to be productive for us.
House Negroes in the house.
Right. So a lot of times we, as the loving, caring people that we've always been, we want to hold everybody's hand and we want to say, hey, we are just like everybody else. We love the world, but we have to stop. My grandmother told me self-preservation is the first law of nature. So when you're getting sick and when something is starting to attack your body, you can't play with your friends. You can't go outside. You can't be around. You're going to have to start focusing on yourself. And out of anybody in the whole race of people, us as black people, the black African lives, we have been the lowest. We have been treated the most unfairly known to humanity. This is ever. You got people like Cecil Rhodes that killed millions of us. You got King Leopold that killed. This isn't just starting here in America. It started all the way from Africa, and now we're still seeing the symptoms of the things that never have been cured. These things never been fixed.
Excuse me. I just got to interject this. When you're talking about us being kept down in a systematic way, check it out. Barack Obama was president, but check it out. He also was not a descendant of slaves. His father was an African from Africa.
King.
Not here. His wife, King, was his descendant, but not him.
Right, and see, that's where we as black people sometimes we make the mistake of separating our causes. Just because I may be on one side of town, you know, you got Negroes that will look down on the other. No, we have to start meshing. I can recall when my grandmother, she grew up in a country town here in South Carolina, but she would oftentimes look at those kids in Africa that didn't have much, and she would send to those kids. Now, mind you, it was probably some white people controlling, you know, and playing off the hearts of people. But this was an intent. You know, my grandmother, her heart, she would want to help out those that were less fortunate. And I think this type of meshing together, when we look at the black lives here in America, is not so much different than the black African lives in Africa. When we look at the dark black people that are going through certain things here in America, it's not so different from the dark-skinned black people that are going through something in India, the untouchables, where they treat them like boo-boo, and they make them clean up boo-boo.
If I may interject, the key thing about all that is they remain to keep us divided one way
or another by keeping
a man out of the house, by taking his authority away, but by with any means that they can, because they know when we are able to come together, even in our disagreements, we can come together.
Yes.
They don't even want that because that strength in itself. So by whatever way they can, even this R. Kelly stuff, you see how many different comments and black people that are almost like against each other. And clearly, in the most basic and simplest of common sense, the man is wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So ain't no excuses or making anything up for him, but still yet, the black community on a worldwide level from East Coast to West Coast is truly divided, some even poking fun, some even wanting to blame the girls. The girls, the little hot girls, that they started this all on their own. We have to follow
the money, because somebody made money, not just off R. Kelly. The people around him made money. Even if the little girls made money, somebody made a greater amount of money. And this is the thing. Black people are valuable as long as people are making money off of us.
Exactly. Like Dr. Harris said, it goes back to the Woody Lynch. Separate us. They separate us.
Yes.
And, man, that's what they do. Like I just said, they build. When R. Kelly, when he was panning people off, believe me, I'll just watch one and two. I turned the TV off because I didn't want to watch that. But like that man, he said, you know, R. Kelly had all those people around him. They was making money, so it was really the record executive. It was them Caucasian people sitting up there. No, R. Kelly, he came out. I Think I Can Fly.
Exactly.
You know, that song right there, you know, like they said, they had a little kid singing that song and stuff like that. As long as they were making billions of dollars, they didn't care.
All about money ain't a damn thing funny.
Let me jump in there real quick. This is a real good topic here that we had a lot of folks on Facebook asking some good questions. One of the sisters, a good friend of mine, she said with the R. Kelly situation, she said this is part of the contract in the music industry. She said this is part of the contract in the music industry. You know, so let me say this here. I had my pen and pencil here, and I was like, jotting down since 1963. I think the Voting Rights Bill that Dr. King negotiated with Lyndon Johnson, I think it was signed in 63 or 64.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just say
that's
63 right now. So to 2019, if my math is right, I'm a major in math, that's 66 years.
Yes.
66 years. Black people in America. And I understand that before the President Johnson signed the voting that black folks could vote, we could not vote.
That's right.
But we fought in every war. We could not come back and sit at the lunch counter. We were shot down with water hoses. We were lynched. We were murdered. We were hung. All of this, the 400 years of slavery here in America, all the way up to 1963, the U.S. Constitution had us as 3/5 of a human being. We were an animal. We're talking about black people.
They
right
didn't
now.
Change.
That's
they never changed that.
And I'm
but
talking
one
about
race made you black.
And now here it is today. We had a movement of Black Lives Matter, and then we get into this topic of, well, all lives should matter. Why just Black Lives Matter? Then we get into that topic. Well, here's the point. Back in the 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street.
Yes.
There was a city built by black people with their bare hands. They had to walk across the street and work in neighborhoods, being called coon, nigger, all kind of just bad names. But our ancestors understood that God had gave them the craft to go and work and come back and build their community. Now, the white folks was really upset because their community didn't look good as the black community. All right. Now, Tulsa, Oklahoma was burnt down to the ground. We're talking about 38 blocks of economic, like
right?
Hospitals, businesses, grocery stores, our ancestors built that. Now, this is where I'm going with this. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have laptops. They didn't have iPads. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have none of the stuff that we have today. But you know what they had that we don't have today? And this is just me
unity.
Y'all can agree with me. That's,
unity.
That's fine. We don't. There's a word. One, two, three, four, five. It's a five-letter word that our ancestors had in 1921. That we don't have today in 2019, and we have all the technology, but we don't have no unity. Can somebody take it from there?
Yeah, I would say this, because we have no dignity. We also don't have any dignity and nor respect for ourselves. That's why it's easy for them to push out Cardi B, the raunchy rap singer, to our children, because we've lost our morals. We lost our value system somewhere. That's why you will see young children talking back to older people. That's why you will see some older people walking around with their pants hanging down low and, you know, looking like they're teenagers. You understand?
If I could just jump in here for a minute, brother, I agree with you. And part of the reason is not just is it part of that is because in the 80s our neighborhoods were flooded with drugs from Central America
right.
Going down to Central America and melanin that flooding our neighborhoods with that, and so we have lost a whole generation got caught up and dropped the ball on that, and
yeah,
because
right.
of that they went to jail. You know, we're talking powdered something as opposed to a different form of the same drug. And now we got boys with sagging pants and gangster rapping, all these things. If they knew what those sagging pants were about and read their history about bug breaking and what they did to the black man to demoralize him in front of his women and children, they wouldn't be wearing their pants like that. But let me just say this. The dignity that you're talking about, this loss over here, Africa is getting raped a second time. We thought they had the colonial powers left, then the multinationals came in, and then now we got China. China is buying up Africa.
Right.
And putting their own people over there to rape Africa again.
That's right. That's
well, it,
right.
It okay. all goes back to empowering our youth and our younger generation, establishing in them what's necessary to fight the power.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We have to make available to them the different opportunities that can put them in different positions, not just sports, not just music. We need attorneys. We need teachers. We need a good policemen. We need judges.
Politicians.
We don't have anybody, even the black judges and black police is coming back into the community. Even if it's not theirs, knowing the importance of coming amongst people that look like you and encouraging them to be like you so that we can have strength. But if we don't work with the kids, we can't go nowhere. We got to begin with the kids and continue with that effort.
Yes.
Yes. Can I just say this? Like you said, you know, like I said earlier. Yes, I was a part of the crack era. The guy who they said was responsible, that his name is Freeway Rick. He's like a big brother to me. I didn't bring him down to Fresno to talk to the kids and stuff like that. What we was doing, we didn't know that we was funding the war. You know, they like me and my partner. We was talking today. Where do you think we get all these guns from? It comes from them powerful people. It comes from powerful people. Yes, yes, I was a part of the crack era. No, I was. I know I'm not proud of that. But at the time, that's what us young African Americans felt that we can do. That's all we had to do was sell this poison that they brought into our community. They brought that poison into our community. Like I say, I was 17 years old. Only thing I was thinking about, man, I got to get me some money. I wasn't thinking about the long-term effect that it was going to have on my community. That's why I came back to my West Fresno community. And like I say, I walk with like a Floyd. I'm not scared. I have to die for something. If I got to die for, you know, what I believe in, I'm really giving my life. But my kids, I have children. I have a daughter and I have two sons. I want them to be able to walk in West Fresno or whatever community with their head held up high. It's a plan. Like Dr. Floyd Harris say, it goes all the way back to that Jim Crow. They still dividing us. And then when you talk about the penitentiary, that's where that sagging stuff comes from. I never sagged my pants, even when I was called myself gang banging. I would never sag my pants. I thought that was the stupidest thing in the world to have your pants hanging off your butt. And like I said, as far as you know, them people
do not like that.
Man, trust me, I know. And like I said, we don't have no airplanes. Floyd Harris, he probably can plant some poppy seeds in the Freedom School, but we don't have to develop them poppy seeds into that cocaine. We don't have to develop that.
That's right.
Again, like I say, they try to say Freeway Rick was the man. It was them white folks sitting in them chemists. Okay, pot of cocaine used to cost, a kilo of cocaine used to cost $60,000. Once it got in the black community, it went down to $13,500. You see, Freeway Rick was getting it for $9,000, giving it to us for $15,000. So it's the government has been playing a big part ever since they brought us over here on enslaved.
Yeah.
The government have been playing a big part. Okay, we are very black people are very powerful people. If you in Africa, man, they got diamond mines stuff like that. Okay, how can we destroy them? They try to destroy us, man. They destroyed a whole generation with that crack stuff. Yeah. Now they have this other drug called meth. Now they're trying to put our black kids on this meth. That was a white man's high. That was a white man's high.
And they put our black kids on meth early by saying they have ADHD and giving them the medicines.
I just did a show. Floyd, Dr. Harris, tell them I just did a show last week about mental health. You know, a lot of these people, they don't believe they suffer mental health. Mental health, you don't have to, you know, first thing, it's taboo in the black community. First of all,
it is.
First they want to say he's crazy. No, he's not crazy. You need to sit down and listen to this man. I studied it. I keep it real like Floyd. In 1995 in federal prison, they tried to diagnose me as bipolar. I asked the doctor, what is bipolar? They couldn't explain that to me. So how you going to tell me something? They tried to put me on that medication. I'm not taking your manufactured medication. Because it goes back to those powerful people, those pharmaceutical companies. They making trillions of dollars. And when I have some doctors on my, I have some doctors on my show. They say this one doctor say no. I talk to the parents first. Some kind of kids need the medication, but first of all, find out their symptoms. You know, we suffer. We suffer. I'm a black man. I suffer from post-traumatic stress than by being a black man in America. Growing up in South Carolina.
But whatever their symptom is, it could be cured by a diet, not no medicine.
Yes.
You can
cure
by a food diet. You ain't got to take nobody pill, nothing, no man made up in no kind of lab. Just pay attention to what you're putting in your mouth. And it's all gonna be good. And,
right,
and that's another thing too. They, Mr. Harris, help remind me about how a lot of black women suffer from cysts and fibroids and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's
my sister
has
fibroids.
Yeah, that's a result of eating meat and beef rather, and not only beef, milk. They try to tell us that giving us cow milk versus our own milk, God blessed us to give our child, to give it cow milk, that's better. And we'll give you some stuff to dry your own breast milk up so you won't have to do it. And then you get to wonder why a lot of black women are growing up and having bad periods and cysts and tumors where they can't have babies anymore.
Yep.
You know what
you're
I'm saying? That's all part
it's
of
real.
The plan.
It's real. And a lot of Africans cannot digest cow's milk like that. Not the cow's milk from over here anyway.
That's right. That's
I used
absolutely
to drink
right.
Cow milk
we
every
are lactose intolerant.
It'll kill me now if I try to drink it.
The majority of our people are lactose intolerant. And like the sister was just saying, one of the main issues, main thing is now all of the hair stuff is going on. A lot of times, our people didn't know we were putting lye, a very harmful chemical, into our heads. And then when it went through our heads, best believe any type of toxic stuff that we put in our body, especially our women, it seeps out through the vagina.
Yeah. Yeah,
you understand,
yes.
And this is why we did. We you know, on top of poor diet, on top of doing other things as well, whether it be smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, you know, from a lot of psychological trauma. This is a reality.
Yeah.
A lot of times we hadn't had time to go to the doctor, nor have we had the money, so therefore we had to deal with it. That's why when they push this crack or they push whatever type of drug. It was so easy for us to go away from our troubles and say, and it's going to go back again to where we're saying black lives matter, where we're saying African lives matter, where we're saying our children's lives matter, black elders' lives matter, black community matters. Because when I heard the brother say earlier about the community, but I'm wondering if we ever really had a common unity here. I think Tulsa, Oklahoma, that gave us, that let us know what we can do. But guess what?
Yeah.
Whenever we had a common unity, we had
that's
those
right.
cancers. The cancers now that come in and now want to destroy what we had going on. So whenever we do have a substantial community, we always gonna have them white folks. That's going to come
that's
in,
right.
or even some type of black Negro, house Negro, that's going to sell us out, you know, and compromise our common unity or our
community.
But
we got to keep pushing. But we got to keep
that's
pushing.
Right.
And Sister Wright, Rosewood, Edenville, Florida, I mean, there are a lot of black towns. Allensworth here, there are a lot of black towns that was founded right here in the Central Valley that we don't even, you know now. But we have pushing.
Can I interject? Y'all know we got Koreatown, we got Chinatown, we got all these other towns. You know, right here in Fresno, the pajamas they got downtown. We don't have
that's
no nigger town. We don't have no black town where we can say
you have
this
an
is
African
ours.
Museum.
We don't have that. We don't have that, but it's like the brother just said, they divide us. They divide us. Like I told Floyd the other day, I say, man, we can make a lot of stuff happen with numbers.
and numbers is body. Don't wait till your son get murdered or something to come out. You know, black folks they wait till something happen. It's a lot of people that are watching this or listening to this. A lot of people watch my show, but they don't want to get involved until something happens. No, if you care about your community, get involved now for your future,
for
your grandbaby.
And not reactive.
Yes.
Why is it that black folks are so afraid to do anything? Let me jump in there real quick. I want to thank that brother.
I didn't get his name, but I got his number. I'm going to give him a call. Just want to thank that brother. Sound like he was from North Carolina. Some good knowledge. We appreciate him calling from the East Coast. Thank you for tuning in, and please share this show with other folks. We come on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We have different community leaders that come on the show, and we keep it real. We keep it 100. You know, we want to get your from your perspective. You know, it doesn't matter if I agree or disagree. We got to start the conversation. That's what I keep saying. We have to start the conversation, and the conversation doesn't mean that we have to fall out, we have to argue, or fall out, argue, but just don't leave the table. When we don't conversate, that's when the enemy wins. And so that's why, Brother Rock, it was put on my heart to ask for 20 brothers in the community. I didn't handpick them, I just put it out there because everybody know me. They know I don't roll with the police, they know I don't roll with Dodge, but if I have to deal with Dodge, he's Dodge, I will. I said, but this is not a police function, okay? This is a grassroots. I'm calling for 20 strong, not scared black men to come together and sit down and have a conversation. Matter of fact, I'm going to feed you breakfast, okay? You're going to get a free breakfast off the deal, okay? Since everybody likes to eat, Malcolm X said there's too much singing going on and not enough swinging. So since everybody likes to eat,
Dr. Harris, let me just interject real quick. Let me just say this. Remember what you told me Saturday at the freedom school? You said, I ain't going to no more meat. I ain't going to no more this and that. No, we already was in a huddle. We kind of get out this huddle and run a play. I told a few of my partners and friends, no, man, I'm not going to no more of y'all meetings no more, because we go to this meeting and we've been in the meeting for 6 months. We ain't ran no play. We gotta make the basket. We gotta get the touchdown. So I'm like Floyd when I'm gonna do a panel with all these little rappers and friends. No, because listen, bro, y'all have all this talent out here, but I'm not gonna promote this gang violence. You got guns in your videos and stuff like that. Do not call me to get on my show. You know, but Floyd Harris, Dr. Harris, you said it. You said the best Saturday. I'm tired of going to meets. I go to all these meets. We meet together for 2 hours. And then 2 hours later, we forgot about the meeting because having nothing been done right here in West Fresno. So when you put it out there, as soon as you put it out there, I think the post was on there like 3 minutes. I hit, man, what day we marching? You know, you asked me about some other brothers. I said, yeah, them good brothers. Reach out to them brothers, you know, because, if, like I said, if we don't do it, Floyd, Dr. Harris, and we don't do it, What we gonna teach our kids? What they gonna do?
But I'm gonna say this too. When you reach out to them young brothers, you have to be or should be able to provide some type of resource or solid opportunity for them to look into, to give them some type of hope to get some type of job to be able to feed their family. Because a lot of the brothers in the hood now, you know how they're getting their income. So that may not be so inclined to come walk it with the rest of the men, because they know they're doing some things that aren't necessarily right. Even Brother Ron knew that what he was doing wasn't right, but he had to do what he had to do for whatever reason.
Sis, I have a question based on what you just said. Does anybody know, okay, we got legal cannabis now. Does anybody know whether or not people who have had previous drug charges are going to be able to get in on this industry? Because you know they're going to try to keep us out. And if you already know the industry, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was telling you, yes. I have one of my little homeboys in L.A. He went to that cannabis school, and you know he's going to own cannabis stuff like that. Now what they're going to look into, you know, I don't want to talk about Trump because I don't care for Trump. But Trump is doing he's got this prison reform bill that he's going to start, you know, allocating money for this type of stuff. And with this marijuana stuff becoming legal, yes, if you're not on parole and stuff like that, you will be allowed to get into that business. I read about this in like 2015 before they started legalizing it. They said in about 2022, it's going to be like 35 states that's going to have legal marijuana.
Okay.
They're going to have legal marijuana. Yes, Oregon was the first city, and then Colorado, and now California.
But
you're going to have all these other stuff.
Keep in mind, too, when you do have any, as far as I understand, you do get your right to bear arms stripped away from you whenever you get any license or any the little car that you get to say you can smoke weed. Whenever you apply for that, you get your right to bear arms wiped away from you. And then
wow.
I don't tell nobody that. Because they don't want you to know. So those brothers and sisters that are fortunate to not have no felony that would keep them from getting any arms, they just say, well, now I'm going to just give me a weed card. And once you get the weed card, there goes your right to bear arms. And ignorance of the law is no excuse. And
let me say something about that. Dr. Floyd, remember I told you, me and Roger, we sat in his car for an hour after we was at the Freedom School, and that's what he said. He said, a lot of these brothers, we need to, the young brothers who don't got no felony, we need to tell y'all need to get into these correctional jobs and stuff like that. Not the police force, but correctional jobs. Because they have the biggest unit. They have the biggest unit where, okay, if you're correct enough, you can carry your pistol, and then you can police your own community. You know, because you're allowed to carry you're allowed to carry your pistol legally, and they can't do nothing. But see, we have to educate our little brother. I told some brothers this like about 2 weeks ago. I said, man, yes, I wish I could go back 30 years ago. I'm 51 years old. I was trying to go back 30 years. I would be a correction officer because I ain't going to do nothing but babysit them. I've been inside the walls, man. They're level two and level one. They just babysitting us. They lock us up, let us out when they want to. They come and do the 8-10 hours and leave. So,
that's why it's so important that we introduce our young kids to a multi of different types of things that they can do. You know what I'm saying? Rocket scientists. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I tell all my little cousins and friends, no, man, it's one thing you never want to get in your life, and that's that big F, that felony. Once you get that felony, it's hard. It's a revolving door. Door. They is designed. That's modern day slavery. What goes on inside the prison? I refused to work when I was in prison, in the state prison, but in federal prison, I had to work. You know how much money? You know how much I was making an hour? 20 cents an hour. 20 cents. No, sister, I'm telling you. But the high paid job. Everybody. It's called Unicor. Unicor is really modern day slavery in the federal penitentiary system.
And
it's modern day slavery. I was in borderline federal prison. The guys who worked in Unicor, they actually worked for the Air Force Base. They used to leave the prison every day and go work for the United States government. And they had good jobs, but they was only making $2 an hour.
Wow.
It's modern day slavery. So when I talk to the little brothers, I told my son and I told my daughter, I say, I went to prison for y'all. Y'all don't gotta go. I went for y'all. I told my nephews all that. Now if y'all choose to do this, that's on your own. Don't call my mama, don't call my sister. We're gonna take care of you because we love you. But you had choices.
How many black attorneys have you ever seen when you went to court?
Man, sister,
how many black police officers other than in the institution?
But see, I'm a I want to talk about this, Floyd. Just like the brother, man, the brother who you know, the one, the brother from Fresno, man. What's our brother's name, Floyd? He's in federal prison right now. Believe me,
Napoleon.
Yes, yes. What's my brother's name, man? What's his name, man? He's in federal prison, right? But he was right under Dyer. Okay, you right under the chief of police, man. Yeah, man. He was a scapegoat. He was a scapegoat, man. They always use black men. They always use a black man as a scapegoat. I don't think he should have been in prison because of you right here. I know a little bit about the federal laws. He should have been found innocent, man, because all those wiretaps was illegal and stuff like that. But if Dyer didn't know what he's doing, somebody else would know what he's doing. But once again, he was a scapegoat. Back to the R. Kelly. R. Kelly is just a token.
Well, Dyer is a crook from way back.
Man, way back. Way back. Way back. Yes.
Let me jump back in here. You know, we just want to welcome them to Dr. Harris. Black Lives Matter show. We have Rod Johnson, who we're interviewing tonight. We want to thank him for coming on our show. I believe, Rod, your show comes on. We'd like you to talk a little bit more about that towards the end of our show. But I kind of want to jump on this topic of the government being shut down. I believe that Sister Sharon from Bakersfield, from Hampton, told me today that there's some issues going on down somewhere, and she called the police and she couldn't get no service. So here's my question to you.
Call 911 and couldn't get
Here's my question to you all. The government is shut down. That means certain people that work within the government ranks are not working right now, which means that they are providing public service to us. That's why we pay taxes to the government, for them to provide a service to us. We understand now that we're not receiving those services right now, so that means that certain offices are closed down. So, for instance, the USDA is closed. It deals with that type of industry. Definitely from the public education system, is so that we can teach our children, like our ancestors did, how to take a seed and grow it, put water on it, nourish it, have compassion, and make food for yourself. I believe that we have gotten so lazy right now, and I'm talking about black folk right now. We have become so lazy right now that only thing we want to do is drive to the grocery store, pull up to this grocery store, drive the shopping cart, pull a bunch of we put it in our basket, though. We put it in our shopping cart, and we're bringing it home. So what if the U.S. government tells black people tomorrow morning, we're not going to feed you no more food. You're on your own. What will we do?
My take on that, Floyd, is I think it's all by design. I think it's all by design. You know, how you gonna shut down the government? That's because you want a wall built. You know, you want to build this wall, but them cartels, they got tunnels that's going to go from Mexico to L.A. to San Diego. So what is this wall? It's by design. We go back to 9/11. We go back to 9/11. They want to say the terrorists did that. I think the Bush is behind that. You know, this is by design, Floyd. But brother Doug Best, he attacks, man. He say, don't believe the. Because once they shut down EBT and all those other assistants, it's gonna be crazy out here.
I heard that's supposed to happen next month or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let the people don't get their food stamp on the first and the third and stuff like that. Well, people gotta survive.
then the world's going to be crazy.
Straight to Walmart is getting robbed.
Yeah, man, Walmart getting robbed, everything getting robbed, and then you're going to have...
But like you said, it is by... A whole bunch of white folks already had it set up and planned ahead of time where they was going. Let's get this money now because they're going to get it straight sooner or later. But why these dummies is doing all this, they're going to get all this money having these folks housed. And I bet you got something to do with number 45 business one way or another, even the wall. That I'm going to do it by any means necessary to the point where he want to shut down government to the extent he has no idea of what he's doing already. Yeah, it's something involved. It's a lot of people that would get a whole lot of money if that wall was to get built, and I'm sure one of his companies would have something to do with it.
No, what his company do have something. People must forget that's Donald Trump. If you know about Donald Trump, he's a businessman. He's a businessman. And just
it's
like my friend said,
personal.
Man, yeah, it's business not personal.
Not
just
personal.
Like I say, like Snoop Dogg said, all the Republicans, y'all voted for Donald Trump. Now he didn't shut this government down. What y'all going to do in 2002? Y'all going to keep this man in office? You know, but like I say, it's by design. And, you know, it's a lot of black people on aid and stuff like that, but it's a lot of white people. But the majority of the people, African Americans, so it's gonna hurt us. Once you stop giving us our food stamp and our Obamacare, we gonna fight back. At least I know I'm gonna
fight
back.
Well, see now if we sometimes when a door closes, another one opens, and it's not a bad thing. If we lose our food stamps, because we don't need to rely on them anyway. So it may put us people in a position of the community, empowering the community. So if and when the government trip, we're not dependent on the government. We got our own resources. We got our own. Somebody to come in and take care of them and have to pay. And it don't cost a lot to do what we got to do.
Yes, I'm going in and out. I don't know why my phone is going in and out because I can only hear half of what the sister was saying. But like I say, my whole thing is I think it's by design. You know?
It is.
It's by design, man. Trump, man, when Trump really started saying he's going to run for president, everybody thought it was a joke until he got in that office. Oh, this man is serious. He's still talking about that wall. Man, don't you know, man, if you in the White House, you selling drugs. If you in the White House, you the biggest drug dealer in the world. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
That's just my opinion.
Let me say this to you. Brother Ron, we only have like maybe 5 more minutes on the show. And I want to kind of talk about, like, if you could take a few minutes to talk about your TV show that you do on, you know, when is it, phone number, folks, contact you. Kind of help the people up today. We got like 5 more minutes before we go out.
Okay, I got you. Every Thursday night right here in Fresno, California, we're on Mad Talk TV. We're on Facebook. We're starting our YouTube page. The YouTube page will be up. Every Thursday night at 6 p.m., I have 2 shows. One is called Fresno Hip Hop Scene, and the other is called Word on the Street. Word on the Street is where we talk about really what's going on in the community. You know, like I say, last show we talked about mental illness. This Thursday we're gonna talk about single parenting homes right here in the black community. And like I said, my show is based on giving back, giving information. Putting out information. Like I say, all these young brothers out here, these sisters, it's a lot of talent in Fresno. I'm trying to, you know, reach these brothers and sisters and tell them you don't have to degrade the black woman. You don't have to say, no, I can't cuss. You don't have to, you know, call them bees and stuff like that. Make a song about uplifting your black woman in your black community. You know, so that's basically what my shows are about, trying to give information to our community, Dr. Harris. And you was on the show, you was on my second show coming up in February. We called it the Blackout. We're going to talk about the Black Panthers, because it was Black Panthers right here in Fresno. We're going to talk about what's going on in our black community with Fresno being on the 10th on the list. We're going to talk about all that. So that's basically what my shows are about, giving out information on this podcast that I have that reaches like 5,000 people every week.
All right. There you go. We appreciate Mr. Rod
Johnson.
Thank
you, brother.
Thank you for coming on our show. Tomorrow we will have Sister Sharon from Hanford, California, on our show tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We'd like for everybody to tune in to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, broadcasting from the West Coast, number one internet radio show, broadcasting worldwide. I just want to say that I'm going to be bringing brothers together here in Fresno real soon. Watch my Facebook. I'm just concerned about us starting a conversation. That seems to be the hardest thing to do for black folk, black males and women. We need to start a conversation about us. How do we love us? How do we respect each other? And if the adults cannot do it, then we sure cannot expect for the young folks to do it. We have to lead by example, right? And I mean that, you know, we just have to. I mean, there's no other way that we can deal with this right now. Our children are suffering. Our elders are tired. We got the government buying off everybody. The government is shut down, right? What is there to be happy about right now? I asked somebody that yesterday. I said, what is there to be really happy about? I said, many people hate going to work. I said, many black folks, we got hypertension or high blood pressure or kids is running us crazy or domestic violence or mental issues going on. We got R. Kelly stuff going on. We got the Catholics raping children. Now we got the women Catholics coming out. I mean, we got drive-by shootings. We got dope stuff. What are we going to be happy about here in America right now? I mean, so we're going to have to start a conversation, and that's what I'm doing now, is starting a conversation with our people. Because I like we said today, you know, hey, we got to start loving one another. Our ancestors loved each other, and they didn't even have all the technology we have today. We got all the technology today, and we just can't show no unity nowhere. And so I'm just concerned right now. My heart is heavy about it right now. And, you know, I'm not just going to talk about it, but I'm going to be about it. And I'm going to go ahead and do what I feel is right, and hopefully that what we're trying to do so that we can try to change Fresno from being the 10th worst city in the country to a city that's respected. And it all starts with us as black folks. And so I'm calling on everybody next week. Watch my Facebook. I will give you the date and time to come out, and so that we can start dealing with issues in our community and healing our community. And I want to say one love. Thank everybody for tuning in.
Thank you. Thank you.